الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين. We were discussing about takbir.
The واجبات of salat. Wajib and compulsory things of the prayers, and in that we discussed we are right now talking about Rukniya, the pillar wajibs. And among that we are talking about Takbir right now, which means saying Allahu Akbar. So, in among the wajibat of takbir, it is necessary to remember that it is wajib to stay in standing position before and after takbir for a while. Can anyone of you tell us why is it wajib for a while to stay in standing position before saying takbir and after saying takbir for a while? Why?
To maintain qiyam, so the motionless zone.
Because if you remember, we studied in wudu already the concept of muqaddimatul wajib. Right, and we discussed that muqaddimatul wajib, wajibun, that means the prelude and muqaddima of a wajib act is also wajib. So muqaddimatul wajib for every wajib is wajib. So for hijab, we say for the sisters, they have to cover a little. It's wajib on them to cover this much that falls between the middle finger and the thumb of a regular person's, regular hand of a person in the width. Isn't it right? And from the length wise, from the root of the hair till the tip of the chin. But because of muqaddimatul wajib, it is wajib to cover a little bit more from all the four sides to make sure this amount is properly performed. Isn't it right? Likewise, we discussed in wudu that is wajib to wash from the elbow till the tip of your fingers. But according to muqaddimatul wajib, you have to wash a little bit from above the elbow to make sure and have tayakkun and yaqeen that you have covered the entire wajib. Likewise, when the same concept of muqaddimatul wajib falls in the qiyam, we are doing takbir in the qiyam position. It's wajib to say takbir in qiyam, and that's wajibun rukni to have qiyam. This qiyam is wajibun rukni. So here, mimbab muqaddimatul wajib. From the aspect of muqaddimatul wajib concept, it is wajib to stay in the standing and qiyam position before saying the takbir for a short while, and after saying takbir for a short while, so that you can have yaqeen, tayakkun. You know, you can ensure that you did the takbir portion properly in the qiyam situation. Is that clear? So this is called muqaddimatul wajib.
So is this a continuation of the other conditions that we covered last time, or is this a new set?
No, it's the continuation of the few more laws, and then we'll move forward towards the ruku.
So we covered this taqrar al-badal.
It is a different one, yes. Yes. Is that, yes, we did that. So we need to have istiqrar al-badan, like which we discussed already, istiqrar al-badan in stationary position. Stationary, non-moving state of body, and so that's also wajib to have istiqrar al-badan, and also it's wajib to wajib not to recline. Okay, so we cannot recline on something. You put your hand over some wall or something. Reclining onto something that's not that's wajib to be to take care of this thing, and also it's wajib wajib not to tilt to any side. Okay, tilt to any side, you're standing like this. So you're not reclining on a wall, but you're standing like this. This is wajib not to do that. You have to be straight. So these were a few things, and the mustahab thing I told you, I think that the distance between the feet of the person, a man who's standing, the minimum has to be, you know, 3 fingers opened up, distance between 3 fingers opened up, and the maximum has to be 1 hand span. Shibr. Like say in Arabic, 1 hand span. This is mustahab, it's not wajib. For men, for women, they will combine their feet. Women will combine their feet, okay? Together. It's mustahab for them to combine their feet.
Reclining, does it mean like you cannot take any support from anything?
Yeah, stick or a wall or chair, anything. It's wajib not to do that. For those who can, they should not. Unless in istirar, if you're in emergency, you cannot stand without a stick, for example. It's impossible for you. If there are, that's emergency, then it's okay.
So if you can stand with a stick versus you versus sitting, like doing namaz, sitting down, it's better, or it would be
yes.
To
yes.
On
you cannot switch to sitting position. If you can stand with reclining onto a stick, you should not switch to the sitting position.
And the same thing, even when for standing, it's rukun, it's wajib rukun, but if you cannot stand, it's okay if you don't stand.
Well, you can only drop this wajib if you are unable. For those who are not mutamakkin, those who are not able to stand, even if you are able to stand for a few seconds, it's wajib to stand for a few seconds and do the takbir and then go back to the chair. But if you are able, even for a few seconds, it's wajib that you stand up and you start your salat and takbir to ihram in qiyam for a few seconds. Then you can sit down if it is, and then again if it's unable for you to continue, and then again in the middle of the salat you again have tamakkun and qudrat and strength to stand for a few more seconds, it's wajib again to stand up. Let's suppose in second rak'at you are done with Fatiha and that on your chair, but now for the second surah you have that much strength, you can stand up and read the second surah. It will be wajib on you to stand up and read the second surah. in the standing position. Again, you lose the strength, sit down again. So anyone who is, okay, so this is this clear?
Yeah, and this is not related to Takbiratul Ihram, this is the entire time you, when you're praying.
Oh, this is related to Takbiratul Ihram.
The distance between the feet.
No, this is related for the entire time. Yeah. Okay? All the time when we have the Qiyam. So this is about the Qiyam. Now let's move to Ruku. Ruku means.
This is the third
Rukun. That's the third Rukun, correct.
I thought we were continuing the second.
Yeah, no, this is the third.
This is the new one.
Yeah, this is a new one and third Rukun, correct. Ruku means bending. That much which allows you to be able to touch your knees. That's the definition of ruku, ta'rif. So you bend that much that enables you to touch your knees. Now touching the knees is mustahab, it's not wajib. You touch or you don't touch, that's your choice. But you should be able to touch your knees. So that means, for example, here is a person standing like this. And now there's his knees. So he's able to touch his hands over the knees. He is able to do that, whether he touches or he does not touch. That's his choice. But he is able. So this much bending is called ruku. The ta'rif applies on him. So this is ruku. Now touching the knee is another mustahab. So you can do that. You can touch your knee. You get more sawab. If you don't touch your knee, you keep like this. Ruku is sahih, but you are losing one mustahab. So this is the definition of ruku. You should bend to that much that enables you. You are able to touch your knees. And so this is wajib to do, to bend this much. And the second wajib of ruku is that so for the mustahab things, touching touching the knees, with your palms, this mustahab. Likewise, for men, bending horizontally That means like this. This is mustahab for men, not for women. Okay? Bending straight horizontally is mustahab for men, not for women. So, and I already explained looking between your feet, that's another mustahab. When you are doing the ruku, it's mustahab to look between the feet. Now, for those of the people who are doing the ruku in sitting position, Islam, the Sharia says for them, is they should bend in ruku to bring their head close to knees. That's what they are supposed to do. This is their ruku. They should, when they are doing ruku in sitting position, they should bend so much their head becomes close to the knees. And it is mustahab for them or you can say it's better for them. That's what the fatwa says. It's better for them to bend. Obviously, better for them to bend so much that their head comes close to the turbat. Is close to turba, sajdaga, turba. This is better for them. And they bend so much when they are doing the ruku in the sitting position. Although if they bend their head close to the knees, that's enough for sajda, for ruku. That's enough for ruku. Okay. Now, the next related discussion of ruku is zikr of ruku. The zikr of ruku, it's wajib to do any zikr. Equal to Subhanallah 3 times. You can do any zikr in ruku, you know, which is equal to Subhanallah. Equal to in the magnitude of the length of the sentence. So you can say, you know, Alhamdulillah 3 times, MashaAllah 3 times.
Or just simply can say durud.
Any zikr of Allah is enough. Any zikr is enough, which is equal to the miqdar and magnitude of Subhanallah 3 times combined. But it's better to say Subhanallah 3 times or Subhana Rabbiyal عظيم وبحمده once. So either you say Subhanallah, 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 or you say Subhan Rabbi al-Azim وبحمده once. So this is better to say, but otherwise you can say any zikr in the magnitude of this miqdar. Magnitude of this zikr, Subhanallah 3 times, in this magnitude, you can say any zikr of the same miqdar and magnitude, like I said earlier. Yes. Yes. Any zikr is enough.
Is this Subhanallah 3 times better
There is no distinction between those two. No, you don't say it's mustahab, because these are, you can say wajibun takhiri. You have ikhtiyar to choose between these.
But you said this is bad.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, let's suppose I choose this option. So, I will not say the zikr in the niyat of istihbab. I'll say it as mustahab. No, I'll say it as the niyat of wajib. So it's a wajibun takhiri. You have choice to say either subhanallah, 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 or subhanarabbil azim alhamdi, or any other zikr which is equal to three subhanallah in the
so
miqdar.
I mean, is this one more mustahab than any other zikr? Like
alhamdulillah.
Like
well, more mustahab, it's better, so obviously it has been given tarjih, yes. It has tarjih to say one of the two. Preference. And then yeah, well, yes, the same ruling will apply because when they are doing on a chair, then obviously they will put the turbat not on the ground, they'll put turbat somewhere as far as they can reach down, they'll put the turbat there, and then it will be mustahab for them to bring their head closer to the turbat in the time of ruku. Yeah, it depends. Depends upon some people to people, because it's different. Some people can. Like somebody has a pain here, so they have no problem bending here. So it depends, you know. So every person is different why he's sitting.
But it's closer to the knees, not necessarily.
Yeah, closer to the knees.
Just relative.
Yeah, closer. The urf. Urf says you are closer to the knees, and that's enough. This only when you're sitting down.
Okay, so is that the definition of ruku when you're sitting down, or is that recommended when you're sitting down?
No, that's wajib.
Oh, that's wajib.
It's so wajib to bring your head close to the knees. It's better to bring it close to the turbat. That is better, more sawab for you to do that. But it's not wajib. What is wajib is to bring your head close to the knees. That's the definition of ruku for them. Unless if somebody is unable, let me tell you about that. If someone is unable,
is that you consider?
If that's the most a person can do, then that's it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, if that's the most you can do, then that's it. Yeah. Urf says your head is closer to the knees. That's enough. Obviously, we're not going to measure by inches difference, and that's not, doesn't work in Islamic Sharia like that. It's all about urf.
So you bring it, it's mustahab to bring it close to the turbah, but you don't touch the turbah.
Yeah, you cannot touch. If you touch, it's counted to be sajda, because that's the definition of sajda, is not touching the rest of the six parts. That's a separate wajib. The definition of sajda, we are coming to that inshallah after ruku. Definition of sajda is to put your wad'ul jabha ala ma yasahhu sujood alayh, putting your forehead on one of those things upon which the sajda is correct. That's the definition of sajda. So if you do it, you did the sajda. Putting the rest of the six parts along with jabha is a separate wajib to do. but it's not part of the tarif of sajda. So if you do that, you would have done one sajda. That's not okay. A person who is unable to bend for ruku, so now let's move forward towards the ruling about the people who want to do the ruku but they are unable to bend. Those who are unable to bend. Now, for them, starting the Salat in sitting position, because in sitting position they can bend easily, isn't it right? Or starting Salat in standing position. This is not an option, and this is what they are supposed to do. For those who are unable to bend to the ruku from the qiyam, it is not allowed for them to start their Salat in sitting position. They have to start the Salat in the standing position. Now, in the standing position, they are unable to bend for ruku. So, in that case, the Sharia says, when you are unable to bend for ruku, now the ruling is like this. If you are unable to bend at all, then the ruling says, in this scenario, after you are done with the tilawat, after the tilawat of Quran means Fatiha in the next surah, sit and do the ruku. So now you have to sit and do the ruku. Okay? For those who are totally unable to bend, and we are talking about them, those who are totally unable to bend at all from the qiyam, for them, they should have a chair next to them. They start the Salat in the standing position. And because they are totally unable to bend, they should sit and then do the ruku. Okay? This is their ruling.
This is the one who can stand but cannot bend.
Correct. Cannot bend at all. Now, and also there is an ihtiyat for this person to also do another Salat with ima. Means ishara qa'iman. It's ihtiyat for this person to also do a salat standing and doing ruku with ishara, means indication.
Just point out.
Yeah, you can point, you know, that I'm doing the ruku in his niyat and do the ishara and then read the zikr of ruku and then.
So it's
ihtiyat, ihtiyatun istihbabi, ihtiyat mustahab. And for the person who is unable to sit down, let's suppose there's a person who cannot start, you know, he can here we said after tilawat sit and do the ruku. Now there's a person who is unable to sit. For somebody who is unable to sit, he can stand but he cannot sit.
There are people of various problems. So somebody who is unable to sit
I mean
is that unable to do the ruku in sitting position.
Somebody who is unable to do the ruku in sitting position, unable to do ruku in sitting position. He can stand, but he is unable to do the ruku in sitting position.
In either case.
So
he cannot do it either standing or sitting.
Okay. Correct. Correct. He's unable to do the ruku in the sitting position. In that case, the ruling says for a person like him, what he should do is do ishara. Ima means indicate. He can do the ishara and do the niyat and read the zikr of ruku without moving the body like this. Now, what if somebody... Ishara we do basically, the ishara we do with our head. The actual way, the way of doing ishara is that you do your ishara with your head. You bend your head down and you do the niyat that you are doing the ruku. And then you, without moving, you read the zikr of ruku.
So there's no
hand? There's not the hand. Not the hand, yeah.
Just the head.
Just the head ishara.
Ishara. That you're doing ruku.
Correct. So you do the ishara with your head while standing while in the standing position. Do the zikr of ruku and then raise your head. So what if somebody is unable to move his head?
That's also possible. There are people who are injured in the hospital. Isn't it right? Or some people have neck injuries. They are unable to move their head at all. For them, those who are unable to move the head at all, for them Islam says they will do the ishara with their eyes. Ishara for ruku with their eyes. So they will close the eyes, they cannot move the head. They close the eyes with niyat of ruku, read the zikr of ruku, and then opening the eyelids means they are raising themselves from the ruku. Okay? We are coming to that, inshallah. We are coming after this, inshallah. We are coming to that. Obviously, if they don't have no other way, they will do with the same thing, you know. But we'll come to that, inshallah, very soon. Because there are details.
Eyes, or one eye?
Yeah, both eyes. If that's not possible, then... Shutting the eyes. Okay? Opening the eyelids will mean that you are raising your body from the ruku. Okay? That's the meaning of end of ruku for you. Likewise, when we say ruku, it means you need to bend your body with the niyat of ruku. Not that you want to lift something from the ground and you bend to lift it and then you say, okay, let me do the ruku. Lage haton. This is not going to work. So if you are bending yourself to pick up something, let's suppose, now you reach here, okay, let me do ruku right now. No, you cannot do like this. Because you bent without the niyat of ruku. Okay? So you have to bend with the niyat of ruku. That's how it will be counted as ruku. If you bend for any other intention, it's not counted to be ruku.
But can it be the other way? You went into the ruku with the niyat, but might as well pick it up.
That's jais. Yeah, that's okay. But make sure, if you do that, make sure that don't bend more than the ruku. Because then it will be counted two rukus.
Okay.
if you bend this much, that's the final limit of ruku. You can do ruku like this as well if your hands are touching the palm, but if you bend this much, you're doing mustahab, and that's the limit. You cannot go like this. If you go like this, you bend further, then you come back, it will be counted two rukus. Because you crossed the limit like this when you went there. You crossed the limit. This was the limit of ruku. When you bent more, you crossed the limit. So now you come back after picking up something, this is counted two rukus. Your salat will be batil. There are some people who do, in order to do the mustahab, they want to bend like this, and then they go so like this. They jump down and then they come back. This is wrong.
So basically,
so you go and you stay.
You go and stay there.
So if you come, like if you wobble, then it would be done.
Yeah, if you go down, the extreme limit of ruku is this. You cannot go further down. If you go further down and come back, it's counted two rukus.
So suppose you go down this much, but then you wobble, come back here and do the zikr here.
That's okay.
That's
as long as you did not cross this limit. And also you did not cross this limit. This was the limit. For example, this is the farthest place where you can touch your palms. Whether you touch or you don't touch, that's regardless. But this is the farthest where you are able to touch your palms on the knees. Now you come back and you go a little bit higher. Now you are unable to touch. This is now you are out of the ruku. If you go back...
So you did not do your zikr,
essentially. Yeah, you did the ruku, but you didn't do the zikr. Yeah, that's okay.
So
yeah.
That's better than doing it sitting down.
Oh yeah. You can bend your knees. That's okay. You can bend your knees.
You can bend your knees in any case.
Oh, in any case, yeah. In any case, yeah. That's okay.
So you don't have to do it like
just make sure that you have istiqrar al-badan. You're not moving. Your body is stationary during the ruku as well. At least we are coming to that point that during the zikr of ruku, the wajib zikr of ruku, we have to have istiqrar al-badan. So if we are moving our body during the wajib amount of zikr, ruku will be batil. If we are moving the body intentionally during the wajib amount of zikr of ruku. If you are moving your body in the mustahab zikr of ruku, like you're saying, for example, you already said subhanallah, 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 you did the wajib. Now after that you are saying Subhana Rabbi al-Azim wa bihamdi. This is mustahab. Now you move your body during the mustahab zikr, that's not going to make your ruku batil. Unless if there are awamun nas who are ignorant and they say this zikr with the niyat of wujub. But this is what it has been told by the Sharia to say. So that would be different for them. But when we know that this is wajib and this is mustahab, if we say the mustahab thing, we're not saying it in the niyat of a compulsory statement of ruku, then it's not going to harm the ruku if we move.
So
we lose the sawab of the mustahab zikr if we are moving it.
But the zikr is wajib, right? Any zikr is wajib.
No, that's why I gave the example that you say subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah with the niyat of wujub, you already said it. Now you want to add subhan rabbiyal azim wa bihamdi after that. So that is now mustahab for you. In this example, so now for a mustahab zikr, you're not saying it in the niyat of wujub, and you know it's mustahab. If you move your body, you will lose the sawab of the mustahab zikr. So anything you say in the moving position is not counted, other than bihawlillahi wa quwwatihi aqumu wa aq'ud. That's the only thing that we do say in the moving position. No, we don't say Allahu Akbar in moving position. Hands you can always move, but the chest and the body and the legs are all stationary.
So, usually nobody bends to pick up anything, but sometimes you do like, you think it's time for sajda and you do, you started to go in sajda and you remember.
You didn't do the ruku.
Right, so you should come back all the way straight up.
Yes, this is another thing that I'm about to come to this.
Okay.
That if you forget, yes. If your ruku, if you do two ruku intentionally, your salat will be batil, yes. Because you are adding a rukun. That's counted to be two ruku.
Okay. But if you don't add a rukun and you do, like, you just do, you...
Well, even the rukun, even unintentionally, if you add, it's batil. Not just amdan, even sahwan.
So suppose you miss the zikr in the rukun. That's not... Like
that's not going to, yeah, if you unintentionally miss the zikr, your salat will not be batil. Because zikr of ruku is wajib, but ghair rukni. So if you unintentionally miss the zikr of ruku, your salat will not be batil. Yeah, back to his point, that's where I'm coming, that if somebody forgets the ruku, and he goes to the sajda position, isn't it right? He about to do the sajda. He did not put his head on the turbat yet. And then he will go, oh, I didn't do the ruku. Now he cannot go back to the ruku position like this. The hukum says, the ruling of the sharia says, he has to stand up first and then go back to the ruku. Okay, from Qiyam. You have to go to the ruku from the Qiyam, not from the sajda position. If you forgot it, go back to the Qiyam and then go to the ruku. Okay, that's how we do it. And now in the case, there's one more thing I want to mention before we come to the end. Yeah. See, if you have, here is the example of a person forgetting the rukun. So the hukum says, if you forget a rukun and you did not enter into the next rukun, you have to come back. The next rukun after ruku is what? What is the next rukun after the ruku? No. What's the next rukun after ruku?
Saying Allahu Akbar.
No. All the Allahu Akbar mustahab except the Witr Ihram.
Two
sajdas together. Not one sajda. One sajda is wajib, ghair rukni. Two sajdas together are the rukun. Okay? So if somebody forgot the ruku and now went to the first sajda. So the ruling says if you forget a rukun and you did not enter into the next rukun, you have to come back. Now the next rukun is not completed yet. Rukun, it will be rukun when you do two sajdas.
Okay.
He did one sajda. One sajda is not rukun yet. Isn't it right? So if he does one sajda during the sajda, he remembers, or after one sajda when he sits, then he remembers, he still didn't do the rukun yet. The rukun is completed when you do two sajdas together. So either during the first sajda he remembers that he forgot the ruku, or when he sits after the first sajda he remembers that he forgot the ruku. In both the cases he has to go back standing position and then after standing do the ruku. Okay, this is the ruling in both the scenarios.
And basically then the sajda would be after that, that sajda would not count at all.
That sajda is not going to be counted after ruku. He will do the both the sajdas again together.
And he will resume as normal.
Correct. Yeah, then his salat is already batil. He doesn't need to continue with the salat. Plus, according to the ihtiyatun wujubi, ihtiyatun wajib, how we say in Farsi, ihtiyatun wujubi, if he did the first sajda and then he remembered, or he is sitting after first sajda, then he remembered that he didn't do the ruku, so he stands up in qiyam, goes to ruku and then performs two sajdas. So in this case, ihtiyat wujubi is to also
repeat your prayers, Ada. Okay? Ihtiyat wujubi. You have to repeat your prayers as well again. Okay? وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين.